works after a fashion, but the microphone gives a lot better sound quality, so we'll have to just put up with it. Anyway, it's October 17th, 1991, and I'm here with Harold Tanner in his home in Vars. Okay, I guess we can skip to the second question, and I had a name on the first one. What's your full name, Mr. Tanner?
Harold Orton Tanner.
Okay, and your current address?
Vars, Ontario.
Okay, and you were formerly funeral director for which firm?
F.H. Tanner and Son.
And F.H. Tanner was your father?
Yes.
Okay. So it was a family business. Was it a business that your father started?
Yes. He started in 1904. After leaving the family farm, came to Vars and bought a store and took over the undertaking business.
So there was an undertaking business at the time?
There was, yes.
Who was running that?
Mr. Lilly. Just for 2 years prior to that.
We're sort of digressing here from the questionnaires, which I didn't expect to do so soon, but while we're on the phone here. Did your father have any experience in the funeral?
Just what he got from Mr. Lilly.
Okay.
He says.
Yeah.
There was no license required at that time.
Okay. And when did you take over the business then?
I joined my father in 1934.
Okay. And then you took over entirely?
It operated under the name F.H. Tanner and Son from then on.
And how long were you in business then?
We were in business up to 1960.
And then you retired then, did you?
We moved to Ottawa for 8 years and came back here and built a retirement home.
Oh, I see. Okay. Did you receive any formal training as a funeral director?
I worked for two or three of the different funeral homes in Ottawa, worked with them, and then had to go to Toronto to Humber College, and a course there, and then write the exams there.
Okay, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else about the funeral home. So what area would the funeral home have served? Geographic area?
Well, we'd have to say practically all of Cumberland Township and up into Gloucester and part of Russell.
Okay. Now, if we try and restrict ourselves, I know it's difficult, but if we can restrict ourselves a little to sort of Cumberland Township, what would you say was the predominant ethnic background of your clientele over the years?
It would be English speaking. And do you mean like, say, Irish would be the predominant?
Yeah, okay. Amongst the English speaking, it would be mostly the Irish?
Mostly the Irish.
Okay. Now, would they be Catholic Irish or Protestant?
Well, in the Navan area, there were quite a few Catholic Irish there. Fairbrook and Vars here, Cumberland, predominantly Protestant.
Protestant, okay. And did you have many French-speaking clients as well?
We had a lot, yes. This is sticking to the funeral.
Yes.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
I would say about a quarter of our funerals would be French, Canadian.
And then they would be Catholic?
Well, that's included.
Yeah.
Going to the Catholic Church, I would say. Sarsfield and Vars.
Okay.
Hammond. Carlsbad Springs.
Oh, really? So it's a big area. Did the ethnic origin of the deceased's family alter the way in which the funeral was carried out?
I don't just understand that.
Okay. If you were going to do a funeral for a French-Canadian family, for instance, would it have been different to an English-speaking Canadian's funeral?
Nothing different except the setup at the home would be the Catholic tradition, the candles and the crosses, crucifix, etc., you know.
Okay. Now, this was, if the individual was going to be laid out at home?
Generally, at that time, they're all laid out at home.
Okay, well, that was the question I was going to ask as well. So, did you have a funeral parlor here that you used?
No, in later years, we used our own home.
I see.
Someone that their body being shipped in, a lot of those funerals. especially from the west.
Yes, yes, I'm sure.
People that have gone west,
big connection,
wanted
yeah.
to be buried at home, you know.
Yeah. So, when do you remember approximately, or you know, can you give me any kind of an indication of when? Up until then, people were laid out at home. Okay. Around what time or what time frame did there start to be a shift and people started to use a funeral home more for that?
The funeral parlors and that were not, there was a few used them in the late 40s
mm-hmm.
and then getting into the 50s,
mm-hmm.
generally the parlors.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it was a matter of economics or was it just more widely accepted as time went on?
Just widely accepted that.
Yeah, people preferred that.
Preferred that.
Okay.
And the transportation was the thing too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the transportation was horse and sleigh or horse and wagon, so
mm-hmm.
the deceased would be laid out at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, with so what you're saying is the only sort of difference between French and English that you would see is if the deceased was Catholic, then everything would be set up for according to the Catholic way. So that would be the same with the English Catholics also?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay. So you would see more of a difference between Protestant and Catholic than you would between sort of French and Irish? Or French and English speaking?
Yes, you would.
Okay. Okay. And we're sort of, okay, and what we're talking about is more of the formal funeral itself rather than the informal part, which really as funeral director you wouldn't have a lot to do with, you know, with the family's role after the funeral as part of a wake or anything.
Yeah. Well, you always put in, attended the wake, you know.
Did you?
This. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. There'd be flowers to deliver or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers had to come by train to Bars here and deliver to all of the deceased, you see.
Mm-hmm. Were flowers commonly used much before the funeral home started to, before a funeral parlor idea started to come in?
Yes.
Yeah.
In our little books, I see where the even in before 1920 and on, where there'd be a floral spray that we'd pick up at the station.
Oh, really? And where would the flowers come from in Ottawa?
At one of the floors.
Mm-hmm.
People name her Wright.
Mm-hmm.
The floors. They're right on Rita Street, practically at the back of the old Union Station
mm-hmm.
on Bezier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We could get flowers on very short order there.
Mm-hmm.
We had to.
Mm-hmm. But it was something that was in fairly common usage then, the idea of sending flowers or having flowers as part of the funeral.
Yeah, to start with, people, the neighbor brought flowers to the deceased home, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually this got to be ordering the prepared flowers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The spray of flowers would cost anywhere up to $5.
Mm-hmm.
And the wreath from 7 to 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the wreaths would have come the same way from town?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were there any of the local stores, I think of Tanner's, but the other stores as well, that would carry sort of funeral accoutrements like I would call it bunting, but not the bunting, the black cloth that was used and this sort of thing. Would any of those carry?
No, not really. We carried everything.
Mm-hmm. The funeral home.
Any do the funeral, it was black.
You had
it. Store.
Yeah. Okay. And what would your sources of supply be? What would your sources of supply be?
With the funeral, there was always a wholesale funeral supply home in Ottawa.
Oh, I see. Well, Ottawa's big enough, I guess.
Oh, we'd have caskets shipped from other firms from Toronto
mm-hmm.
and a lot from the Quebec side
mm-hmm.
at different times, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, did you always deal with sort of outside suppliers for that kind of thing?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is really interesting because what I'm finding, and it was the same after the interview that I had last night, the first interview, I'm just going to put this on pause for a minute. I can figure out how to do that.
French funeral or the Irish Catholic funeral, we carried on just the same.
Very similar.
Same as going to the church and whatever.
Yeah.
Procedure in church and all that, you know.
Yeah. Can you describe sort of an average French or Irish Catholic funeral for me?
Well, it was pretty hard to describe. They followed the same lines pretty well. Funeral must be over by noon. All Catholic or French funerals were in the forenoon.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
Was that the same for Irish Catholic as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And all Protestant funerals were in the afternoon.
Oh, really?
I remember well the first Protestant funeral. I was to be best man for my brother-in-law, who married at Bearbrook. And the funeral was booked. The wedding was for that afternoon. The funeral was booked.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? I get up nerve and went to the family near Hammond and told them. That's all. So we had that was the first morning funeral we ever had.
Oh, really?
And church of Bearbrook.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
So, as funeral director, you would be called in when somebody had died. What would your role be then? Would you be involved in laying the body out at home?
Always, up till the later years, always at home.
Mm-hmm.
With all the embalming in the homes and everything. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Was embalming a fairly common process?
After about 1925,
mm-hmm.
It was always embalming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Okay. And that was all carried out at home. Would an individual be placed in a casket at home?
When we got the call, they'd usually come, spoke them in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Either call on the old rural phone or come to the house and get us up.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed to be that was the thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
The family came and picked out the casket.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went to the home of the deceased, took the casket with you. And
mm-hmm.
If it was a Catholic funeral, you took your candle bars and your kneeling rail and your
mm-hmm.
mats and floor mats for either funeral and all this, mm-hmm. and your rugs, mm-hmm. lamps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything was with you, took with you, and you left there, everything was set up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you went back then and picked up the body and took the body to the church?
Directly to the church.
Okay. Was there a procession often from the church to the cemetery?
Well, it just depends. Like the Bearbrook Church, the cemetery's right there. You
mm-hmm.
see, say you went to either the Catholic Church in Brers or the Anglican Church.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a matter of the hearse going mm-hmm. and the family mourners going to the cemetery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. The only reason I asked is that I know in some Quebec villages it was quite common for people to follow the casket on foot. So that's the only reason I asked.
We did have one in Brers here, and this elderly man had died, and his brother came from way down in Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all right in the village. We had the casket in the hearse and everything, and he stepped up in front of the hearse and
mm-hmm.
He said, "We walk." So I had
very
to go
slowly.
Walk with it was only from the fact to the church,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
That was the only time, actually.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So it's something that sort of didn't come with the people from Quebec, obviously, that tradition.
No, and of course any dignitaries in Ottawa, you know, that's always a procession,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I guess the Chinese yet to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Big procession, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm just trying to think where we are here. For you would coordinate with the minister or the priest for his role in service?
Oh yes, we had to say we had a funeral to Carlsbad,
mm-hmm.
St. Lawrence Church.
Mm-hmm.
We had always, people didn't have cars then, so
mm-hmm.
it was up to us to go and make arrangements with the priest there,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and see the caretaker of the cemetery and
mm-hmm.
if they'd have plot where to be buried and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I tell you an amusing one about Carlsbad. I went up this morning, and quite early because the funeral was at our next day, and somebody's milking a cow at the rectory there. And so he looked up, milking away, and he said, "Good day." I said, "Good day, sir." I said, "I'm looking for the priest to make an arrangement for funeral." He said, "I am the priest."
He was at work in his garden.
We're always good friends after he's milking the cow.
Milking the cow.
So this poor old fellow's wife had died, and no family, and he didn't know anything about where she was going to be buried. He found a spot for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So you did, that was sort of the role the funeral director took on, and that sort of intermediary role for the family, securing a plot and that sort of thing.
Well, generally speaking, they did have, but often we had to get a hold of go and get the grave digger and drive him to the cemetery property or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Were there, the lady I was interviewing last night said that in the Sarsfield Cemetery, people were buried even during the winter. Was that pretty much the case?
Always, everywhere they're buried. Weather didn't mean one thing.
Oh, really?
And nothing but hand shovels and picks.
Yeah.
People were buried.
Regardless. Even because at Bear Brook, there's a little mausoleum there at Bear Brook, isn't there?
Yeah, well, that was just put up. Oh, Reverend Canon Clark was here at the time when built that.
Yeah.
That was just built in the 40s, I would say.
Oh, I didn't realize it was as recent as that. Isn't that interesting? Because it looks like a very old little building. Yeah. Okay, so with a Protestant funeral, much the same type of process. You would go to the home and do any embalming as required and lay out the individual, but you just wouldn't have the setup for an altar or the kneeling rail and that sort of thing.
Oh yes, actually we had for the Catholic funerals we had all that.
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm thinking for the Protestant ones, that would be the big difference.
That's right.
Yeah.
The only difference you might see.
Yeah, and with the Protestant funeral, it was still common to go to the church, whichever Protestant denomination after, or at least for a funeral service.
Oh, 90% of the time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I know today, for instance, we've gotten away from it altogether, and a lot of services are right at the chapel and the funeral home. Yeah. Okay. What kind of differences would you have seen, or can you recall any kind of differences across denominations within the Protestant, for instance, Anglican to Presbyterian or Anglican to, no one else would have been local here. It's all united now. I guess Presbyterian would be the biggest one, and Anglican.
So we had both Methodist and Presbyterian empires here.
Mm-hmm.
In the time of Union in 1925, they went united and just used the United Church, which has come up today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's really no difference, and we just went to the church.
Mm-hmm. But there wasn't any difference between the funeral service or how the body was treated or anything?
No.
Else. Okay. Between the denominations. Okay. So tell me, this is really fascinating. Where did this whole idea of the Irish funeral come from then? That's so much sort of gone down in folklore.
I guess from Ireland.
In the reading I've done,
it's just a funeral meant a celebration, a wake.
But I think was there that same element to a French funeral as well, the idea of a celebration?
I don't think there was. I mean, mind you, they got together and everybody was there for the wake, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Back the second night or whatever, friends and neighbors especially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Both Protestant and French went to the different wakes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Irish people, even in my time, especially my dad talking about a Catholic funeral, it would be northwest of Navan.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at Navan went to St. Hugh's Church at Sarsfield.
Mm-hmm.
And Mrs. Horson, first days,
mm-hmm.
he was there slave.
Mm-hmm.
And this, my dad was there, and mind you, from here to north or west of Navan, and load up the casket and get to Sarsfield Church.
Mm-hmm.
And have you heard of Father LaFlamme, the old preacher?
Oh, yes.
40 years.
Yeah.
So this day my dad was back with his driver and a team of blacks and got out his watch, and the prayers were going pretty strong. They were pretty well oiled up, you know, and my dad got a hold of this one man, Mr. He said, I won't mention name, he said, you know, the time is getting on, and he said, it takes us so long to go to Sarsfield that we should get going. He said, Father LaFlamme doesn't like us to be late. He said, tell him to go to hell.
True story.
Yeah.
This is one of his own flock.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So there's the Irish for you, a little bit, you know.
He was lubricated, he was too concerned.
So what?
Yeah,
But anyway, that did it. He went in.
Yeah.
My dad got the casket closed and had a short prayer. And,
So there was very much sort of this whole idea of a vigil around the casket. Was that common to French and Irish as well?
What do you mean by vigil? Like,
well, staying up all night, or is that something that was sort of French?
No, I never knew the French. Irish mostly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not the Protestant people. They went to wakes. But
Catholic,
Okay. 10 o'clock or so, it was all over, you know, whatever.
But with the Catholics, from the time that the individual was laid out, there was a vigil that was sort of conducted so that somebody would be with the corpse at all times?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not in our time, no.
Mm-hmm.
Usually always, the body was in the parlor, so the door would be shut till visiting the next afternoon or evening or whatever.
So there were regular visiting times, almost like the funeral parlor today?
Well, I shouldn't say that, just morning, noon, or night, neighbors, you know.
Yeah.
Dropping in with food for the family, and
That was something that I wanted to get into, too. What kind of, was there a special type of food that was usually served at a funeral?
Well, there's really no serving at a funeral, but this was beforehand, so the family would have cakes and pies and even homemade bread. Things like this that you were...
Yeah. So this was something that was brought by the neighbors for the family's consumption rather than for their visitors? Okay. And what about at the wake? The same idea? The neighbors would bring in then?
Yes, they would, you know. But mostly just to save the family the trouble of cooking while the time of death, right? There's so many visitors coming, you know.
So
just a family, a neighborly gesture, I guess.
Yeah. To help while they were in a state of mourning. Before we get into sort of the modern day funerals. So the idea of the wake, sort of a celebration afterwards, was something that was more Catholic than Protestant?
Well, it just sort of wasn't done in our time. People would, the close family, would go to the home after the funeral.
Yeah.
People came from a distance or closest neighbors. Always the closest neighbors would stay at the home during the funeral and return and look after things and be there when they come back and have a meal ready and probably do the chores while family's away, you know.
That's a good point too. So was it common for people to travel quite a distance to go to a funeral if it was a close family member?
Oh, they would, yes.
And you said earlier it was quite common for a body to be returned from out west?
Very common.
To ours, I guess by train?
By train. Always by train. Pick up the body at the local, we would see an hour here, or CPR in Fairbrook or Leonard. So many families went west, of course, you know, way back in the early 20s, 30s. Majority, when they would die, they wanted to be buried at home, shall we say.
You haven't been in the funeral business for a number of years, but I'm sure you've attended a few in the meantime. Would the usual funeral today be closer to, how would it differ to the funerals that you remember, particularly the earliest funerals that you remember?
Of course, the earlier would be the horses and the carriages, hearses, etc. We got our first motor hearse in 1930. Before that, was always the horse drawn. Well, today the change is in the big funeral homes, as you were saying a while ago, with the services in the chapel, etc.
Sort of taking a funeral out of the home entirely and into the funeral home.
Exactly.
And there's no sort of shift across ethnic border or boundaries or anything. When people started to get away and use the funeral parlor service more, would it be more likely to depend on what they could afford as opposed to what religion or what ethnic group they were?
I think, well, it was generally always that way, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, nowadays there wasn't a very big range in price.
Mm-hmm.
From $50 to the top of $200, shall we say.
Oh, really?
Anywhere in between there.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would cover all of the funeral services, casket, everything? Oh, really?
Outer shell, as we call the rough box, and abandoned
mm-hmm.
transportation, church equipment, and mm-hmm. cemetery equipment. Originally, they just used ropes to lower
mm-hmm.
the casket. Later, it was straps
mm-hmm.
used.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, we did have a lowering device and the grass set up for the
okay.
mm-hmm. all the cemeteries, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How common was cremation in the area?
Not at all. It wasn't a cremation. First, we knew it was in the early 60s,
mm-hmm.
people that we knew were
mm-hmm.
cremated.
Mm-hmm. And it's become more popular now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It just wasn't heard of, I mean, in those times, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If there wasn't a crematorium outside of Toronto until the person started in Ottawa.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, yeah, Beechwood, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think here.
The people from welfare to the township had to bury quite a few welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And we've in our books so we got $35 mm-hmm. a complete funeral again.
Mm-hmm.
Going and bound and casket, church and cemetery, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Would they use an unmarked grave for that type of interment?
We never buried in an unmarked grave in my time anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
You had your plot here. Family block, you know.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay.
Talking about people gathering, as you said, for weeks and that, it was in hard times when this chap, old gentleman, died about 2 miles down the road, and his son came up to make arrangements, and I had to call the clerk of the township and get permission and all that. And so we went down in the morning, made all arrangements, left the casket and all, and he came up in the afternoon. And he said, do you think we could get some little extra welfare? There'd be a lot of people in, get some bread and some salmon and
mm-hmm.
butter and this and that. And you may have heard of Marshall Raffles, who mm-hmm. was green for years.
Oh yes, yeah.
A bit on the gruff side. But this was getting, this time of year, would be, as I saw it the other day in a book, elections were coming up.
Uh-huh.
So, I said, well, I'll call, they always call him Mr. Marshall, the French, call Mr. Marshall.
Yeah.
I'll call Mr. Marshall for you and see you. So he would just always answer the phone, Marshall, Marshall, it's Harold speaking. I didn't have to say Tanner. I said, old Mr. Tura had died, and I said, the son is here, I'm wondering if he could get a little extra in groceries. They tell him to go to hell. Bang, I had to receive her away. I knew it was going to happen. And the son said, he say no way. Well, I said, just wait a minute. 2 minutes to 5 minutes, the phone rang. Harold, Marshall, give him $10. Elections are coming on. And that whole corner was French speaking
yeah.
folks.
Yeah.
Between this North Atlantic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad things don't change a whole lot. Restores my faith in human nature.
Well, that $10 order we had to take and put in a couple great big cornflakes, car box, you know, and deliver it for them.
Yeah.
That's what $10 would buy.
Yeah, yeah.
Just goes, I thought you might be interested in that.
Oh, yes.
In that point.
Yes. Well, that's something I hadn't even thought of. We find lots of information on funerals as they were conducted sort of medieval funerals and, you know, the ancient funerals, but to get into something more recent, there's very little written. I mean, there's more stuff about funerals in Bala Bala or whatever that sort of would be on the norm, but to talk about, yeah, to talk about a normal Canadian funeral, there's just very little written. But to sort of know what's a basis, and you sort of tend to think that the way it is for you, I was raised in a city, you don't realize how much things were different in the country, for instance. I had never thought about the transportation issue for once, you know, the whole idea of welfare, of course, the township was responsible. So, okay, so an individual on welfare, or if it was a charity case, they would have been buried with a marker. How common was it for people to use stones or a marker?
Well, it was very common, but this welfare case would make their own, just out of the wood, make a cross out of wood.
Mm-hmm.
One old gentleman made it out of cement and made a form,
mm-hmm.
which you can see right up here, in, you know where the Catholic cemetery is?
Yeah, in Vars, yeah.
From our field here, you can see these wooden crosses or something.
Oh, really? I didn't realize there were still some wooden
crosses. Well, others had the full monument, tombstone, like everybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of beautiful stones up there.
Mm-hmm.
But this, when they built they started to use this cemetery here.
Mm-hmm.
The road, there was no road, you were going through the bush, you see.
Mm-hmm. It's not much better now.
Not much. If it rained, rained.
Yeah.
And this gentleman died, been here in Carlsbad, a big family, well-known family, and so this siding at that time went all the way up past the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
as well as the main line. And,
mm-hmm.
and my father made arrangements with the section foreman to take the flat, the old pump cars that
mm-hmm.
were wheeled, but they made a flat car with four wheels, put ties and rails on. He got permission and they left it sitting on the siding. Brought the casket up from the Catholic church, put it on the railroad flat car, and took it up to the cemetery and lifted it over the fence.
Oh, really?
There's no way of getting it, even with horses.
Yeah.
Horses would bog down.
Well, I can believe that because it's interesting. You know, I spoke to a lady that I knew through the township, and she had lived here all her life. And she said to me, we were talking one day over lunch, and she said, tell me something. She said, you know a lot about the community. She said, where is there a cemetery south of ours that you can see from the tracks? She had taken the train and gone to Montreal, and it was the first time she'd ever taken the train. And she said, I saw a cemetery that I didn't even know was there.
Is that
south of ours, yeah.
A lot of people
obviously
don't.
She's not Catholic. But when she said that, then I started hunting. And I got out the ordnance, you know, the top maps, and found it on the topographical map. So then I had to come down and check it out, you know. But how common was it, this is something I asked last night at the interview, how common was it for people to use a private family cemetery in your time?
There wasn't one at all.
Oh, really?
I've been to them and seen them, none in this area.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a difference there.
I'd say that went back to the end of the last century.
Yeah.
Like we know one up above Carlton Place there.
Okay.
Scotch Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Strictly a family.
There's a cemetery just not too far from here too. I know there's some Larmers buried in it. I think it's just outside of the township. But it would have been a.
Oh, we're down in the forestation.
Yes.
Yeah, Grant. That's called Grant Cemetery.
Okay. But it would be an official cemetery. It wasn't a family plot.
Okay. There was a village, but by the name of Grant, you see in there.
Oh, really?
Post office. I have letters with the Grant postal stamp on.
Yeah, it's funny how these communities just disappear, like Canaan, too. You know, there's no trace
right.
of it there.
That's right. The Langdon Church was Canaan Four Corners there.
Okay. And, but that's across the township borders, though.
Yeah, that's in Cambridge. Right?
Okay. Okay.
Have you ever been down there?
No, I've been told about it.
Very, very, very old stones in it. That was an early settlement, mostly Scottish.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
And that was quite a drive with horses from here.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Down there, you see.
I'm sure.
But we all quite a busy built up.
I went to look for it one day, and I wasn't even sure because I don't think there's much of a road there. It's just, I think it's marked as a private lane.
They've developed that road in the last couple of years.
Oh, have
they? It's fairly good now. Still stone, you know. And then for the cemetery, all sand.
Yeah.
Poor sand. They don't even have to cut the grass there. It doesn't grow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
really
fenced and There's a funeral there, I'd say, once every 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I know it was still being used, mm-hmm. but that's interesting.
Old relatives, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, you're buried there.
Yeah.
Some nice cemetery tombstones, do we?
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. Where would you arrange for a gravestone or a marker or?
In earlier years, my father sold monuments.
Uh-huh.
A man came up from Maxville, Mr. Frith, mm-hmm. with 4 trains a day, same mm-hmm. as Nasmer Leonard, and come up in the spring of the year, and my father always kept a livery as well, horses, had the horses, and
mm-hmm.
would drive, would cover the area, he did funerals, and do the Russell area as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Frith took orders for monuments. My father was sort of an agent
mm-hmm.
for him.
Mm-hmm.
We've one book here, strictly the monuments that were sold in those days.
Oh, really?
Well, then later on, in the 30s and that, people were, there were more monument firms around them.
Mm-hmm.
In Ottawa and Bangley, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. You know, if I can get you to sort of really, really go off here, or digress a bit, or whatever, maybe philosophize a little bit is more I want. What do you think, what do you see as the role of the funeral in the community?
What did you say as the role?
The role of the funeral. What purpose does a funeral serve in the community?
Well, this is one book that I have seen, that there was now, but it's just to prepare the body lifelike as possible, the family and friends to mm-hmm. recognize the deceased and pay their last respects, you see.
Mm-hmm.
This is the general.
That's okay, that would be the role of the funeral director, but I'm thinking of as the role of a funeral. Why have anything? You know, what does the funeral serve for the family and for the community?
Well, there again, just as today, you can be cremated, and the director of the cremation will pick up the body and go direct. You must wait 48 hours after death
mm-hmm.
for cremating. The body is cremated and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No service whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But most people say it's out of respect
mm-hmm.
to have the funeral and have the gathering of friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Ms. Tubman says, what do I say at a funeral? That you don't have saying, just the fact that you're there,
mm-hmm.
paying respect to the deceased and the family,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
to be there. So mm-hmm. The people ask me, well, I knew so-and-so pretty well, but I didn't know his wife, and what should I do?
Should I go or not, and that sort of thing, yeah.
But they were going to chat, but
yeah.
I said, just, I'm sorry to hear about that. Well, that's it, just the fact of you being there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's that whole area, because that's something that I found. There's almost a head count. It's almost a tally. You know, for some people, it's important to know how many people are there. You should have seen so and so's funeral. All of these people. It's sort of, I guess, it's a measure of the individual and how well known they were. And maybe that's
pretty well it. Yes, I've heard people that say, "Oh boy." Talking about his dad, this fellow, he said, the funeral director said, one of the biggest funerals he's had for, well, that's good.
Yeah.
And a bit of bragging, well, that's
yeah.
not very common.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy to see the friends there.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I'm just trying to get a, so really, you don't think the role of the funeral has really changed all that much in your time?
No, it hasn't, really. In any way that I can see, the clergyman, the one thing again, the clergyman, the priest, or whatever, always knew the family so well, which meant a lot. And they made sure to be there. Today, you can't get some clergy to go to a chapel before a funeral if it's mm-hmm. funeral going to church, or,
mm-hmm.
which I say should be. It should be a minister as a friend there at the closing of the
yeah.
casket.
Mm-hmm.
Few words directed to the family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was interesting. The lady I was speaking to last night was Catholic, and she was saying years ago, I mean, as soon as somebody became seriously ill, you went for the priest, and she said, now, the priest won't come, you know, even because of distances and because of this, the areas they have to cover. And a lot of cases, you know, we've got far more incidents of a Catholic dying, particularly if they die at home, with nobody there, you know, no priest to give last rites, which is, you know, interesting for the position of the church. You know, you sort of, it's sort of an interesting sort of deviation from what was always the norm, you know.
Well, in our time, in our experience, the priest was always there. Same, I wouldn't say more so than the minister, but always gave the last rites and visited the family.
Yeah.
And, we had all the plan so often, you go down and get a call and go to pick up the body. I remember this chap said, well, I went to Glen House, and Father LaFlamme was there now. I said, I'll just wait till you can do it. Saying a word to the family, you know, and so on and so forth. But,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. Well, I can't think of anything else at the moment. As I say, I'm pretty well going to have to go home and rethink my whole thesis here. I have to come back and see you again.
Well, I just hope we can help some. Is there anything else to think of?
Well, I guess that's part of scholarship. That's part of studying. You sort of start out with a preconceived idea and you find that no, it doesn't work that way. So you have to sort of keep an open mind. Then you have to think, now, where can I go with this from here? But is there anything else that you can think of related to this topic that you think might be interesting for my project?
No, really, I can't, outside of a lot of different experiences.
Yeah, I'm sure you've got a lot of anecdotes, which would be wonderful, but that's the kind of thing that I was hoping if we could get coordinated with the museum to do that, and that's something I really, I've talked to Elmer about. It's something that I had heard of you long before I ever had the opportunity to meet you, and people kept saying, you should go interview Harold Tanner. When we were trying to do these oral histories for the Historical Society, we did very few of them, primarily because we just didn't have the people to go and do them for the volunteers. People just don't feel comfortable, you know, like, well, what am I going to ask for, what am I going to say? You know. There's also this sort of feeling that you're intruding, too. But it's kind of information that would be very nice to have at the museum eventually, just because we're going to the Hearst collection is there, and I know they want to get the money to set it up properly, and then it would be nice to have some kind of a tape or something that interprets what people are seeing.
Yeah, we were kind of put out with them. They didn't get those Hearsts on display. They're spending an awful pile of money for what, I don't know. But
Well, it costs a lot to run it. You know, this is the whole crux of it, and I know, I'm going to put it back on again. You were saying in 1880?
As I understand it, before 1880 and before, people would make their own caskets, or go to the local sawmill and get the boards, and they buried their own people.
Mm-hmm.
Just a matter of washing them and dressing them and the best they could.
Well, I think there was usually somebody in the community that sort of provided that service.
Well, there was always somebody, I understand, that made specially out of it. A lot of people just don't want anything to do with it.
With the corpse,
body,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's the way we understand it. In my time, my father buried this man, but he had made his own casket and lived in a very small house, he and his wife, in fact, just a short across here, at the casket in the back kitchen there.
Already?
Already. It's made of wood, and not sure if he painted it or not. That's what he was buried in, and he was buried in it. Kept down expenses.
I suppose. And I guess that was the economics of it, too. You know, people felt it was a waste to put it in the ground if it paid a lot of money for it. Yeah.
I wasn't... I have the date the man was buried, died and all that, but I wasn't involved at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is what they always told us, that he had his own casket there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Going back to the, where the five were killed here, there's a father and mother and a 13-year-old daughter. The storekeeper's wife at Carlsbad. Mm-hmm. And they're all burying Russell here.
Oh, really?
She only found out this past year.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So they were a local family?
All from Carlsbad.
Oh, I see.
The storekeeper's wife and the order, yeah, and the name, just about a couple miles from over.
That was Easter? Was that Easter weekend?
It was in 1917. I just don't recall it. It was Easter weekend.
Yeah, because I remember there was one that was around Easter weekend. One of the train crashes, or maybe that was one of the crashes.
Yeah. Oh yes, Easter weekend, that's right, Good Friday.
Okay.
Our fire was 51, April 13th, 1952. Mm-hmm. It was a crash here at the track.
Mm-hmm.
An old truckload of family were going to church. They went down to the Catholic Church and struck by the faith thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two or three of them killed there.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible accident.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess you get called in, you know, something like that, accident victims and all that sort of thing as well.
That's for sure.
Yeah, that would be the hard part of the job, I would imagine.
It was. That's just the job.
That and children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so many different actions. We even had a man in one of the gravel pits at Fairbrook in the winter. Had the team in a sleigh and much easier shoveling. Here was this crest like this, you see.
Mm-hmm.
In there shelving, and down came the whole thing.
Mm.
Smothered. We got in the hospital. So we had ambulance as well,
mm-hmm,
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the funeral coach could be just take the black curtains off, put on gray, put the mat on the floor, as well as our own private car we had arranged. So it was just an ambulance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there were some great trips. Winter and that.
I'm sure.
Man at Carlson and the Mr. Jersey man at Leonard there. He said, I'll have to pull in probably all the way from the Leonard station. I'd go another 2 miles. And I got about halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Put on with the team behind the sleigh and just keep the motor riding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And pull you up.
Get the end of it loaded in and
mm-hmm.
pull us back to Leonard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like open or partly open.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it was your nephews I spoke to with the insurance company. I can't remember. Bob?
Yeah.
Is the one. And he was saying about his father would drive people into Ottawa as well for various things.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So
anybody that his father did one of the first cars near Model T, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Always been called on to take somebody to the hospital or visit someone at the hospital or
mm-hmm,
x-rays
mm-hmm.
or something like
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know Bud and...
I met them, yes. I went and interviewed them about the business. And of course we sort of got off because, well, I mean, local history is such a passion of mine. We ended up, as we are here, talking about, you know, other things as well. And so we started talking about VARS because it wasn't long after the priest had contacted me about the book, so we were just sort of chatting about different things and what they could recall, you know, years ago. But he was telling about the snowplow. It was a horse-drawn snowplow, if I remember. You know, and different things.
Well, yeah, they
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
And then they got to put about 12 horses ahead of the truck snowplow.
That's what he was saying.
Trying to pull it.
Yeah.
And they just dug a ditch, you know, and 2 hours after that ditch was full, so the snow was this much higher.
Yeah. Well, all those stories about the snow, but I'm sure we used to get far more snow years ago than we get now, you know. It's
definitely.
Yeah.
You say now with the clouds, we don't get the snow.
No, I don't think so either.
I've seen if we couldn't walk from here, but we're still home to the railroad track, and we just dried up.
Yeah.
All the time. Horses. Horses had to be unhitched in the middle of the road there.
Yeah.
Well, with Rockland, there's the...
Oh, this is Rockland proprietor of Rockland Livery Stable. So really, as an undertaker, you had to sort of have other things to do as well. A village of ours wouldn't have just exclusively an undertaker. There were other things that...
There wasn't Now, the name Beach Draper in Ottawa
yeah.
is gone now. Mr. Beach is dead. And his father, A. Albert Beach, started in Paris.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's in the furniture business.
Yeah, yeah.
Undertaking business, but there's nobody in the area. Even the city, we've all the Launderville history here, mm-hmm. livery and undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something to go with it,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
they would live there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something, this man was a blacksmith as well, Mr. Dent.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first policeman, I guess, in the township and in Rockland area, Harold Dent.
Mm-hmm.
He was shot in the station in Avenue.
Oh, okay. Yes, of course. Oh, okay. I already recognize the name now. This is 1903.
That's a common agent for sewing machines.
Yeah, well, this is what it says. Sewing machines, sleighs, carriages, harnesses, stoves, agriculture implements, and undertaker. Yeah. Well, what really got me started on this, it's such a strange choice of topic, but what got me started was I had gone over to see Verna Cotton. I was helping her with some family history, and she had gone down to her brother's and brought back an old wooden box, and in this wooden box we found this would have been Francis Coburn's, this was Verna's great-grandfather, you know. His brother John died in 1881, and he kept every piece of paper related to that death, all of the, like what they paid for the crepe, what they paid for, what else was there? The funeral, the casket, everything, the stone, they had all of those details and kept it since 1881. It was in this box.
It's just priceless today.
Well, records like this, you know, there's such a wealth of genealogical information in this type of thing as well. From the Historical Society, we've got a lady, now I'm trying to remember the name of the person she's looking for. I think it would predate what you have here. But this lady is the, do you know Doug Lancaster in Cumberland?
Oh yeah.
She'd be Doug's sister-in-law. But her husband's family is from the area. And she's done a lot of research in trying to find records of who's buried in the Patterson Cemetery, you know, the little abandoned Presbyterian cemetery. And the cemetery mm-hmm. records just cover, like, only show the lot and who bought the lot. It doesn't say who's in those plots, which I didn't realize. And if there's no stone, you've got no way of knowing. Yeah.
No, it's too bad. It's a very hard place to dig. It's shale. We've had to use dynamite mm-hmm. to dig a grave.
Oh, really?
Picking dynamite and all this, and that's the one with the stones about to
come. Yeah, stumps. That's
yeah.
right.
See, that was the other cemetery on the hill.
Mm-hmm.
United States, they were using mm-hmm. all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was Methodist, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But her father's sister is buried there, and mm-hmm. she was, her husband was a Methodist, in fact, preacher in those days.
Oh, really?
The Simpson name.
Yeah.
You know Wes Simpson?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
His grandmother.
Okay. Well, what Vern and I couldn't figure out was this John and Francis Coburn both. When John died in 1881, we had his date of death from all of this information. The stone is there in Bearbrook, and yet he's not mentioned in the church records. We've got the church records before and after, so it's not as if those church records for that period are missing. He couldn't have been buried by the minister of the Anglican Church there, which is bizarre that he would end up in the cemetery.
Did you say you have the Bearbrook church records from back quite a ways?
No, the only thing, the Bearbrook church records, let me see, that's Anglican. Okay, they are at Trinity Anglican in Ottawa. They've done a wonderful job of taking all those records and keeping them up.
It's Christchurch.
Yeah,
Cathedral.
Yeah.
Verna was telling us about being there. We were in too.
Mm-hmm.
See, our church was 100 years, 2 years ago, maybe
yeah.
nine.
Yeah.
And my son and I went in.
Yeah. That brings up another question when you're mentioning a shroud. Was it common for a person to be buried in, or for a funeral, for them to wear their own clothing? Or how common was a shroud?
Well, more customary their own clothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes they didn't have presentable clothing. Other things they had to. So the shroud was
provided in
place
of.
Well, to be dressed.
Oh,
dressed
I see.
Up as it were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Of course, the door drape was the first thing I had to go on the door. The door drape.
Never heard.
So, is that right?
No.
Big round purple or black made up grape and the big purple ribbon in the center.
Oh, I see. And it went on the front door of the house?
Front door of the house. Sure, if there was a deceased person there.
Uh-huh.
Seems to be the thing, you know.
Yeah, family was in mourning. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you would take those sorts of things as well? You'd provide those, like it says here, the shirt, ties, collars, and veil. So you would have all of those available if they were needed, I guess.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Even, I just come across there, and it's often the underwear, supply underwear.
Oh, really?
For a man.
So you've got stuff here with this particular individual. You've got the date of death and then their age as well. Oh, this wouldn't be for lettering necessarily? I just wondered how common it was to have that kind of information on it.
Well, that's another thing. The plate that went on the casket?
Oh, yes.
That was a must.
Uh-huh.
And with children, say it was 7 years, 5 months, and 11 days.
Yeah.
And an adult, in both these cases, my mother, the plate was a copper plate,
uh-huh.
and used a steel pencil, much like it would be writing on the slate board with that, but this was a steel pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Mother did have a wonderful hand, and this went on the plate.
Oh, I see.
It was placed for the plate, just where the opening is, and on went the plate.
Yeah, I see. So that was, and it was the individual that stayed on the casket when the individual was buried. Okay.
Occasionally, the family took it off. I have a couple.
Yes, I have a friend who has a couple, and I sort of wondered. I thought they were supposed to be buried.
Yeah. As a rule, they were, but this, for some reason, they were taken off.
Yeah.
Found in the homes after, and I got them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know the Rivington name at Malvern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
See, this woman died 24 years, 7 months, and 15 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I asked if it was common to for that sort of thing to be noted. But I guess...
Mrs. Frank James would be, she was a Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she'd be a niece of my father's, come to think of it, and again, 30 years, 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, it was just the date of death put on the plate,
mm-hmm.
and that was gone, and we bought the plates just with at rest on
it. Oh, I
and
see.
And then it disappeared altogether.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And disappeared for a good many years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You were saying about some church records, no names. Here's an adult funeral, French woman at Napa.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew her name.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
$25.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anonymous even in death. Eh?
Exactly.
Yeah, at least she wasn't Mrs. So-and-so, I guess there's a
And that was another thing, is we had to had to look after getting the death certificate, the burial permit, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the old days, sometimes burial permits were never picked up. Somebody's running to. They didn't have caretakers, and they weren't looked after either.
Yeah, yeah. All cemeteries in Cumberland are private, were private or belong to the churches.
The church,
yeah. Yeah, because I know where my mother lives in Deemsville, it's run by the municipality there.
Yes, I guess they're in different parts of the country, there were a lot like that, but mm-hmm. here each church seemed to have its own.
Because mm-hmm.
there was a church down at the Assembly of United of Berwick now, you see, there was a big church there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was a church at both spots. Burke
yes.
Farm was just the Griffith Farm, just
yeah.
next
I,
to the cemetery.
I remember the two churches.
Mm-hmm. Now, where did, okay, the one that's at the museum came from Bars. Oh, really? Because I thought maybe it had come from over by the cemetery. So there were two separate churches over there?
Oh, and they were both taken down, the ones that were
okay.
down there. Well, this United is just